Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch every single live Premier League game on Sky Sports, BT Sport and Premier Sports.
You're welcome back. Joe Malloy here. 53106, text number. Get us out off the ball on Twitter. I'll get to some of your texts in a moment. Nathan Murphy, hello.
Hey, Joe.
You were another alongside Adrian Barry, who was leading the Squid Game discussion in the office earlier. We'll try and keep that to a minimum if we can, please.
I'm only five episodes in, and it's one of those shows that everybody's a step along the way. So some people have only seen one episode. Some people are thinking about watching it. And because it's so good right from episode one, almost minute one, you're going to give spoilers. So let's just avoid it. Just watch it. Actually, I'm not watching episode six tonight, Joe. I'm watching the final episode of Ted Lasso. And I cannot wait. I just know it's going to be beautiful.
I will say nothing about it. I've seen it.
Oh, okay.
I tell you what, though. One tip on Squid Game. I think we were in agreement on this. You certainly led the charge and I jumped in wholeheartedly when you made the point. For anyone thinking of watching it, dubbed actors or subtitles. Subtitles all the way. Subtitles all the way. If anything, the dubbed American accent really makes the acting almost look farcical, whereas in fact when you've the subtitles on, you realize they're all brilliant performances.
Well, for three quarters of the first episode, which I watched with the dubbed American accent, I thought it was meant to be a bit of a comedy, that actually it was, as you say, a bit farcical, whimsical. But actually the second you just listen to it in Korean with the subtitles, It's far, far from comical.
Let's get back on track. It's been a strong start from us here, but let's talk Ireland in Baku, 3-0 win, first competitive win in 13 games, or as I was saying earlier, unbeaten, bar one in seven if you're Stephen Kenny as opposed to Didi Haman. Much needed for obvious reasons. What did you make in overall terms of the performance of the night, of where it leaves Kenny, etc.?
I thought it was very impressive and matched a lot of the best moments of his time in charge so far, from the Slovakia game, the first hour against Serbia, the match against Portugal. A lot of the things we saw in those games and the way that Ireland tried to play through the lines at times, I think they did obviously with a lot greater ease against Azerbaijan because they weren't at the same standard. I don't think it was perfect, but I think when Ireland got the ball to the attacking players, there was a bit more cohesion about what they were trying to do. They were playing and turning over the ball in more advanced areas of the pitch, which is what all good teams do right now. They sort of unsettles Azerbaijan by winning the ball back in midfield quite a lot and getting it forward really quick. And then they had the players sort of close enough together in that front three, front four, depending on what formation you were playing at the time, that there weren't big gaps. So they were able to play quick fire passes. And that's what we want to see. I think on the other side, like, it could have been 7-2, 6-2. Mm. There were so many chances for both sides. The midfield was obviously looked like an issue. I think it's very harsh to put that on Jeff Hendrick and Josh Cullen. Yeah, they made a couple of mistakes, and there's times where Cullen should probably just hold, where he's almost been too positive at what's going to happen with Jeff Hendrick, where he thinks Hendrick's going to skip by the challenge, and Cullen's trying to put himself in a position where Hendrick loses the ball, and next thing they're both out of position. I think there's still too big a gap between the defence and the midfield if they're playing three at the back. If Cullen and Hendrick go, one of the three centre halves has to come forward, because there's still two more of them left back there if they're trying to avoid the counter-attack. That this massive 30-yard gap that really has been there since day one with Stephen Kenny's time in charge. You think all the way back to the Bulgaria game the first day out where Ireland were very open. I still think that's as much the defence's issue as it is the midfield's issue. That maybe they just still don't have that inner confidence to step right up. That if you're pressing high, everyone's got to press high, because if you don't, and if the first reaction of defenders, the second Ireland lose the ball, is to run back, it does leave this 30-40-yard gap that other teams are going to exploit. So I think they need a bit more work on that, but overall, a 3-0 win away from home is not something Ireland do on a regular basis, and as much as anything, probably underline the importance of Callum Robinson, who, if you look back in Stephen Kenny's time in charge, when he plays, Ireland have almost always performed to their best.
Yeah, he's been a huge loss. You think back to the Serbia game, he set up the Brown header. He's always been very, very useful for Stephen Kenny when he's been available. And like, in broad terms, you would have to say things are improving and there's a foundation emerging and a consistency about the shape now and a lot of the personnel, and we're starting to get a feel for where they're going, which I don't know if that was the case, say, the Luxembourg game, for instance. It felt still very confused and uncertain Change in style as well, which is interesting. 38-39% possession. Again, you think of the Luxembourg game in March, and one of the stronger memories is Ireland routinely failing to beat the Luxembourg press, but continuing to try anyway and getting into all sorts of trouble. And then you think maybe of Serbia more recently, and it was better in that respect, and Bizunu was clipping balls to wing backs, and when passes short weren't necessarily on, there was a bit more pragmatism. And then on Saturday in Baku, Bizunu went long, I would say 9 times out of 10, went past halfway, and they played in, quote-unquote, the right areas, or certainly took fewer risks, but were potent nonetheless and created 18 chances. So that's a very discernible and obvious change in Kenny and in the team in the space of 6 months.
And you have to assume that that is pre-planned, because when we saw it first off and they were overplaying at the back, they clearly weren't fully taking on board the instructions. It felt as though maybe last time out they got the perfect blend with Bizunu, and as you say, those lovely little dink balls. But this time they obviously spotted something in Azerbaijan that they felt the long ball could put them on the back foot. And this wasn't just hoofing it forward. One of the beautiful things of watching Bizunu when he gets it is how calm he is. And the ball's just rolled back. He's not thinking, I'm just going to put my foot through this. He's happy to stand for 3-4 seconds. He's happy to bring the Azeri forwards on to invite them to come that little step forward, maybe the midfield to step forward a little bit more, and allow the Irish players as well to get up to support Adamida. And then he fires it long, and he plays it at that right height as well a lot of the time, that it's more drilled through the air, allows Ida to go up and contest. Didn't win a huge amount of headers, didn't win a huge amount of those 50-50s, I thought, which was a disappointment for Ireland, Ida's overall impact. But even the centre halves, when they're going long, it does feel as though they're just taking that extra second or two to let everybody set, that it's not just knock back from wing back to centre half, fire it forward, centre half will take a touch, he'll look up and he'll fire it down to an area where, again, every team mixes it up. The very best teams mix it up. Look what Ederson does for Manchester City and his ability to drill the ball 60, 70, 80 yards downfield. He's picking out a pass. Bizunu is probably not quite at that level just yet in terms of his range of passing, but the way he's going, you'd expect him to get there. So, yeah, they are a bit more pragmatic, I think, as well. And to get confidence, they need to be.
Yeah.
Because the little mistakes, the turning point, if this does fully turn around for Stephen Kenny, the turning point actually may have been Bizunu's penalty save from Cristiano Ronaldo, because that was such a terrible error of judgment at that stage to play it around in that position. If Portugal had got the early goal, they could have gone on and won that game well. Instead, he saves the penalty. Everyone forgets about what caused the penalty in the first place. Ireland put in an almost heroic performance, and it feels as though they've sort of kicked on from there.
Yeah.
Taking those silly mistakes, and silly risks.
To concede that penalty at that moment would have been very damaging, you think, for Kenny and what he was trying to do. It is an interesting one. Like, against Portugal, I thought it was a coming-of-age performance. I was amazed at how his hold-up play had improved, and physically he was looking very, very strong. I would have said, by those standards, he took a step back on Saturday. That's going to happen with young players at times, I'm sure. But I mean, I vividly remember in the first half, he lost the ball when they weren't difficult. These weren't especially difficult balls to take in and bring in other players. He lost a ball twice in a row. The second time didn't even close down. The Azerbaijan player just was appealing for a free, and they got a shot away, and John Egan rollicked him, as if to say, you're just going to have to do a lot better there. So the problem with Ida is really the only football he's getting is international football. So he's learning at the coalface.
Well, he's started more games for his country than he has for his club. And with the investment that Norwich have made over the summer, that's unlikely to change. You'd expect he might push for a loan move in January. But I've mentioned this line a couple of times that was said to me by one of the Irish management team about Bruce Banner and the Hulk, that Adam Ida is the nicest young man you will ever meet. He is the Bruce Banner, but when they want him out on the pitch, they want to see the Hulk, and they want to see the physical side and be a nuisance and get the elbows into the fenders and hold the ball up and be as strong as you possibly can. And against Portugal, as you say, we probably saw that, and he made a nuisance against some of the best centre-backs in the world. Mm. Like Ruben Dias is there that night, made a right nuisance of himself, but it was just too easy the last night. He was pushed off the ball and he looked short in confidence, didn't seem to quite know again what his role was, where Callum Robinson, actually, when the ball came to Callum Robinson, he held it up brilliantly. 3 or 4 times he got it on the halfway line, just put his foot on it, rolled it back to the midfielders, allowed the wing-backs to get forward, sometimes to get in front of them, to get themselves involved. So that's the grand plan of where Irish football is going. It is the one caveat I have to the progress I think that Stephen Kenny is making and will make. The lack of control he has about Adam Eda's future, of Troy Parrott's future, that he's having to invest everything in these players with no guarantee he's going to get anything back from their club. Norwich could easily decide, well, actually, we're perfectly happy having Adam Eda as our fourth or fifth choice striker, just in case. They don't need financially probably to let him go. So if that ends in a situation where he starts, you know, 3 league games all season and 10 substitutes appearances at his age, it's where you want to be getting first team football. So you're right. You can't have consistency with a player who's playing so little in terms of senior football. And it probably is why, again, you would play him, as you say, tomorrow night, that actually Stephen Kenny needs some of these players to be on pitch on big occasions. It sounds like it's going to be a complete sellout tomorrow night, 25,000 for a friendly. So again, a bit of pressure and a bit more of the big time for some of these young players.
Yeah. I'm going to play a couple of Kenny clips to you now in a second. I know you were watching his press conference earlier. Just on the other aspect of this performance, and neither of us are getting carried away here, I hope. I know there's a strong contingent who are still not happy with Kenny and think, you know, he's on borrowed time, but there is an issue in the performance in that the first 15 minutes are great, like really, really good. And I thought Jeff Hendrick was great, for instance, as one of the midfielders and really good on the ball and really sharp. And then after the goal, and maybe 5-10 minutes after the goal, it was fairly clear Azerbaijan had taken control, and they just sort of kept control right the way through until almost Robinson's second goal. They basically bossed things, and in that period Ireland couldn't get a hold of the game, and it's a combination of factors. Some of it's Eda not taking the ball in, some of it's just various players not being sharp when they could be. There does seem to be, though, an issue for Kenny to think about, which is that midfield balance. Now, it's very easy to criticise Hendrick and Cullen. I thought they did okay. I think it is a case of manpower. This is meant to be a 3-4-2-1. In reality, I would put it to you, a lot of the time it's a 5-2-3. And the fullbacks could maybe be a bit braver in their positioning, step up and give the two lads a hand and say, like, do we need five of us back here? Like, we're sitting pretty and it's nice and everything, but maybe they could step up. And I guess the question is, are we going to see a slight shift in how they set up, as in a third midfielder of sorts in there? Like, you look at Chelsea and you kind of, anytime you watch Chelsea at the moment, you're thinking Anthony Barry and his fingerprints. And recently they've gone to three in the middle. Kante on at halftime against Spurs. I think you did that game for us, the commentary. And then the Man City game, they went with three in the middle again. And recently it was just Timo Werner and Lukaku. And Ireland may need to go that way. So you presume Callum Robinson's going to keep his place. You presume he persists with Eda. Like, it may have to be the Daryl Horgan or the Aaron Connolly type out, and a Jamie McGrath or an Alan Brown in there, like a midfielder who can absolutely join the attack so the two boys up top aren't isolated. But I don't know, I felt like Cullen and Hendrick were thrown to the wolves a touch. Like, there's a lot of ground for them to cover.
It's not really Jeff Hendrick's game either, control. There's an explosiveness to Jeff Hendrick when he's at his very best. It's all Josh Cullen's game, where he's very happy to play the tidy passes. Again, I think getting that defence to step up closer to give them more easy options out. But you're right, the Daryl Horgan from the start experiment hasn't really worked. And so maybe Ogbeni is similar in that certain player's suit coming off the bench for the last 20 minutes where it's a little bit open, players are tired, it's a little bit scattered. Horgan, the couple of opportunities got from the start under Kenny, and he's been brilliant off the bench. He's probably been one of the real success stories, but from the start just doesn't have the composure or the control or even maybe the confidence to get on the ball and try and dictate a game. So I think you touched on a player there, though, who, much like Callum Robinson, has had a lot of different issues. Alan Brown, who, when he's played for Stephen Kenny, has almost always delivered and does have that balance of being able to get forward. You know, he's played every sort of position for Preston, so he has a defensive know-how, but can play that almost number eight. It shouldn't really compare to Chelsea and, you know, a Kovacic or a Kai Havertz and where they're playing. But maybe he can actually get up and support Adam Eda. If Adam Eda does hold the ball up, he can be up there. But also in Ireland, they're just trying to have numbers in midfield and settle things down, that he can be that player as well. So I think he was a loss. It does seem as though, I thought maybe Howerhan might be that player, but Howerhan just seems to have fallen out of the picture a little bit and isn't getting that opportunity. Whereas I think if Alan Brown was fully fit and available, that he might be that guy. But it is an area where Ireland are definitely lacking in quality, and we can compare what other countries are doing and why they're successful. Look at Scotland and the victory against Israel and the joyous scenes you saw because they beat Israel with a last-minute winner. But like, it's Scott McTominay and Billy Gilmore in the middle of midfield. Like, it's real top-level quality.
They'd get into our team.
much like Wales, when Wales is successful, Aaron Ramsey is still there, and how he's several steps above everybody else on the pitch when he's playing. Ireland are just missing that one player who can dictate a game, who can get his foot on it, who can have the confidence from playing every week at club level to look up and think, I'm as good or better than everybody here. And I think you're right. Every other position probably almost picks itself at this stage.
It's getting
there,
yeah.
Stick with Ida, stick with Robinson. You know, Coleman will come back in at right back. Maybe a bit of a scrap at left back. I think Doherty will have to play at the back three. We more or less know with Darrow Shea maybe coming back in. Hendrick and Cullen, he clearly wants. It is that one player. And can he find the right mix that actually allows Ireland to dictate games and also has somebody who's up supporting, so suddenly Ida isn't isolated? Is that one position that is up for grabs in the team, it feels?
Yeah. A few Kenny clips then. So first off, he was, needless to say, pleased with Ireland scoring goals.
The Callum Robinson's goals were, his first goal was a good team goal, good, you know, I was pleased that the way the two wing backs were involved in the move and created it, but it was just a brilliant individual strike from Callum. So the second goal, obviously, it was a good goal as well, albeit it got deflection, but it was a terrific goal, and we're pleased to see Chio Ogbenye, come off the bench, and he looked, real, real positive personality, and it was great for him to score, because he surprised us with that, because we hadn't got that down as one of his main attributes. His leap to height to get off the ground and the power he got in the header was terrific, and that we were pleased with that.
Yeah, in fairness to him, very involved when he came on, caught the eye. Did you enjoy Callum Robinson's goal celebration, Nathan?
Silenced his critics, Joe, didn't he?
He was sticking it to Joe Duffy.
Let's not go there again.
I love the way, but it was used as his performance was used as vindication for Robinson's vaccine stance. Like,
well, for that I would ask. Ireland drew with Azerbaijan at home. Where was Callum Robinson? He was sat on the bench, unable to play the full match because he was still suffering the impacts of COVID, which he'd had for the second time. So, like, that's the impact that it had initially. The team have obviously come together. We saw that before the game with John Egan's comments in the press conference. You would expect them to rally round. Like, that is what a good squad does. Mm. It wouldn't have been a good sign if this the criticism of Callum Robinson, the squad had a split over this. So they've all rallied round. They have found a focal point to get behind, and best of luck to them with that. But I don't think Callum Robinson changed anybody's mind on anything by the goals. I don't think so.
Entirely separate. Be like if he didn't play well and me and you sat here and said, well, look, this is what happens when you don't have the vaccine. You know, you don't play, you're not good at football. That was huge contribution from him. I mean, wow, if they can keep him fit and playing, he's a bit of a game changer for Ireland. So how sum this up for us then as we head towards the match tomorrow, which you'll be commentating on live. It does feel like we're beginning to turn a touch of a corner. We started around a corner. I'm not going to say it's fully turned yet.
No, and there's still massive potential. Banana skins tomorrow night, if Stephen Kenny goes with a strong side, which I expect he will. I'd be with you that he'd play the vast majority of players. Maybe Jason Knight comes in. Again, another option is that third midfielder. But there's no reason to make changes. There's not many of these players who are wrecked at the start of the season. The difference is he's getting his best players on the pitch all the time. And Callum Robinson is a prime example. You mentioned Serbia, the cross. Okay, he was wrecked, it seemed, for the game against Luxembourg because he wasn't playing at club level. But the match in Slovakia, I thought he was brilliant that night as well. Here you have a player now playing week in, week out, at good level in the championship, fully fit, lining out for his country, making an impact. So that is what he needs from all his players. He can't afford to have any more of these situations where 5-6 guys are missing. But they need to kick on, and next month is huge. You've got Portugal at home, probably a full 50,000 at the Aviva Stadium, and then finishing up away to Luxembourg. If you can build some momentum for Portugal into Luxembourg, well, then he probably takes the question out of the FAI's hands. But like, Portugal at home, we know the damage Portugal can do, and suddenly if you're going into Luxembourg with a lack of confidence, I think there's still banana skins potentially along the way. But most people will look at that result and realise progress has been made, change of style has been implemented, and Ireland are heading in the right direction.
Nathan Murphy, cheers for that.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks very much. Football and Off the Ball brought to you by Sky, of course. All the football you love in one place across Sky Sports, BT Sport and Premier Sports.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
But did Anderson go through your head at that moment? Was that you saying, right?
That was me saying it's the first time he touched the ball in the final, and thank God it did something half decent with it.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch every single live Premier League game on Sky Sports, BT Sport and Premier Sports.
Welcome along to this evening's football show. We have much to discuss. By the way, if you didn't catch me mentioning it earlier on, we'll have live commentary tomorrow of Ireland against Qatar from the Aviva Stadium. Kickoff is at 7:45. 25,000 fans will be along, which is a sellout in the current circumstances. So that's on the way tomorrow. This, of course, after a 3-0 win in Baku on Saturday evening. Very happy, everybody, to bring in some Canadian TV royalty. Kevin Kilbane, hello.
Hi, Joe. How's it going?
Do you get stopped by people down the street now? Oh, my God. Kev from the TV.
No, I'll come back to that. I apologise for my signal's not been great here at the moment, so I'm sorry if I've been causing a few panics with you and JP that are trying to get online here, so I apologise.
You can imagine the things we were saying about you as we were wondering where you're going to show up.
Oh, I can well imagine. Well, JP's on my case. He tried to get me on last week, didn't he? Hour after the Liverpool City game last week, didn't he? And I couldn't come on, and JP's then getting more and more agitated and more stressed that I can't come on. So I'm sorry. I apologise. I'd love to come on more, but the time difference obviously affects us, doesn't it?
He accepts your apology, as do I.
No, but I'll come back to the original point, though. It's quite funny, Joe, honestly, here. We live quite a little bit out of the city. We're about an hour, I think I've said to you before, about an hour from Toronto, east of Toronto, yeah. So a few weeks ago, maybe about a month or so ago, after I did the Euros was quite a big thing here, because obviously it's the next generation that's watching the games. And literally, we're out in the sticks. We were out just having a walk. My wife and baby were out having a wander, and two girls came past on the bike. They're about 12 years of age, 12, 13, I'd say they would have been, came past. And one of them stopped me, one of the girls. I mean, it's the most bizarre thing ever, really, when you think about it, really. And said, "Oh, are you Kevin Kilbane?" And I said, "I am, yeah, yeah." She goes, "Oh, you were great. We love watching you through the Euros." So it is great here. You see certainly different aspects of, you know, the younger girls watching the soccer here, as they say. So it's been interesting from that. But you do, once or twice I've been recognised, but that's about it. Low profile.
Well, we've got to get you on TikTok. You've got to speak to your fans.
Ah, no. Come on, Joel. Let's be honest now. No, that's not happening.
So, well, listen, thanks for making time for us. Appreciate you're busy.
No, problem. And pleasure, by the way, absolute pleasure.
So I know the Euros was big. You're a very hard man to get on the phone. So I'll just have a personal conversation with you here for just a moment, and then we'll talk Ireland. So in terms of the Canadian TV then, are you doing MLS? Are you doing any European football? What's the Kilbane schedule from a TV point of view at the moment?
No, I work on TSN, which is the Canadian Sports Network here. Yeah, we had the rights to the Euros. We have the rights to the next couple of World Cups, which will be a big deal here in 2026 when the World Cup's across North America, in Mexico, the US and Canada. So there'll be games here. So we're hoping we're getting traction ahead of that. The men's team's going great. You know, they're approaching a top 50 ranking as well now. So soccer, which has surprised me, I think I've said to you here, is been really taking off. As I said, when the women have obviously just won the Olympics, so they're going great. The men's team there's some serious talent within the men's team here right now, absolute serious talent. They're a great team to watch going forward. So everything's taking off. So for me personally, it's been great. It's been a nice time to arrive to see the national team doing well. And I'm covering the MLS. I started, as I said, with the Euros, and now I'm just doing the MLS coverage for them. So it's been good. It's obviously, you know, I'm still watching all the Premier League games, which is great to get a gauge of where the MLS actually is. And we know clearly it's a long way from European football, but there is one or two players that are starting to take note of, and there have been one or two that have been a success in Europe, of course. So it'll be interesting to see over the next few years which one of the Canadian players can maybe transition to European football and start to make a name for themselves.
Mm. And are you going into studio and COVID's died down and all that stuff is happening now, yeah?
Yeah, vaccination for me was a bit of a problem actually to get sorted, because I wasn't resident here and I'm still actually not resident as at the moment, which I'm hoping will be sorted in the next month or two. But I managed to get vaccinated. I had a double vaccination, so going into studio now is no problem for me. A lot of the industries here have started up where, unless you've been vaccinated, you can't even work within those companies. So I've been pleased now that I can now go into studio without any issues, and it's been great from that point of view. Yeah,
good man. When you started off your sentence there by saying the vaccination has been a problem for me, I thought, oh no, he's about to go full Callum Robinson here. He's going to be all over Liveline tomorrow.
I was listening to all you guys last week. I listened to the show most days actually. So it was interesting to see the take on it with Callum Robinson, particularly with what happened to him at the weekend. Yeah, so it couldn't keep him out of the news.
He was everywhere, front pages, back pages, Liveline losing its mind. It was big story. Yeah, it was huge. So, well, I guess he scored and did his celebration. And one last one about your Canadian persona, the Kevin Kilbane type that the young people of Canada are obsessed with, I'm hearing. Would you be regarded as a tough critic? I'm trying to get a gauge for like what the Canadian style of punditry is. Would you be regarded as somebody who's like, oh geez, he's a bit tough on the players, or are they all giving it to the players? Where do you fall on that spectrum? I would have said over here you were never cruel, but in fairness I always felt like you were giving your opinion, which is, you know, not always a guarantee. What about over in Canada? Are you like the Dunphy of Canada?
One sec. No worries. Sorry, just getting colder. Where am I? I don't know. I don't know how I'm perceived. I don't know. I'll wait and see on that one. I'd say they probably think of me a little bit more harsh, I would say. Yeah, I definitely think that'll be the case. Yeah.
Okay. Canadian listeners, let us know, please. Add off the ball on Twitter. I want to know how is Kilbane going down over in Canada? So,
wound me up since I've been 5 years of age. I'm making sure that my name is pronounced correctly wherever I go. Yeah.
Look, any Canadians unsure, don't mind them. It's how it reads, which is Kilbane. Don't mind them.
Joe. Come on now. You're better than that. You're a Mayo man at heart. You know that. So let's be quite frank about that. Now there you go.
Let's talk back here then. 3-0 win. Ireland's biggest winning margin since 2015. Jeez, I couldn't believe we haven't won by three since 2015, but I suppose we are where we are. What did you make of the performance? Obviously, the win is great, but generally we've tried to judge the Kenny era on the performance.
I know that. I think I've hated the narrative every single game that we're coming in. Look, you know, should he stay? Should he go? There's obviously a lot that's for him, a lot that's against him. It does seem like there's a huge split at the moment, and the narrative is helping nobody, is it? Let's be honest. So, I felt at the weekend, I actually thought it was exciting to watch at the weekend. Regardless, I don't think the team played well in spells, particularly after going in front. But there were spells where it was good to watch. Good attacking football at times. Good. I felt as though that there were certainly spells where you were watching it going, you were getting off your seat. And I have certainly for a majority of the games through this era, I haven't felt that way at all. I haven't felt it in any way. So that was the most impressive thing I felt, that there was a lot of excitement, a lot of penalty box excitement with chances created, risk taking, and the risk that's been taken throughout. I felt throughout the last 15-16 games or whatever, it hasn't necessarily been in the right areas, and I think we've been caught out too often, and that's how I viewed it. I haven't really enjoyed it. I haven't enjoyed watching the team. I have to say that for so many of the games, and I hear in afterwards that, you know, it's technically a way better performance, and, you know, the team's playing a certain way and you're trying to progress. And I get that we actually have to give the team time to progress, and, you know, the things are going to be ironed out along the way. But it's been the lack of creativity, I think, in the team, the lack of just in the final third, a few people taking a few more chances, and that has been the noticeable thing that I've found. A majority of the first half of games, Joe, and I don't know if you felt like yourself as well, a majority where you've come away and there's been one shot or no shots on target, and there's been nothing to really whet your appetite for the second half of games. And in fairness, the second half of these games, a majority of the time, has been better. Don't get me wrong, but I've just felt as though throughout it's just been very laboured and hard to watch. I felt it's been very hard to watch. And I know, as I said, that it's about progressing and progressive style of football, and we're trying to, you know, teach the players a different style of play and taking the ball in tighter areas, absolutely. And and that's only going to make the players better. But it's been the lack of excitement that I felt. You know, if you look at the Serbia for the last 10 minutes of that game, where there was excitement and you were going, this is actually okay. I mean, that was... it was a terrible performance against Serbia, I felt, and I'm just talking in terms of stopping them playing. Let's really stop their technical players playing, because Serbia outplayed us for such long spells in that game. But I think even against Azerbaijan, we were outplayed with the ball at times, but I was pleased with the way that we played on the counter-attack. And if I'm looking across Stephen Kenny's reign as a whole, our best performances have been playing counter-attacking style of football, where we've used the wide area as well. Portugal was a prime example of that, where I was excited watching the team. I thought, it's a really good performance. I thought, there's something to build on here. But we probably had 25-30% possession in that game. It wasn't necessarily in keeping with what we imagine Stephen Kenny's style of football to be. That's the way that I would see that. So I think there are different ways that you can actually play certain teams. And I felt at the weekend against Azerbaijan, allowing them possession at times and really going and pressing the second or third pass into midfield, then I thought we got a lot more joy off the back of that.
Yeah, I think that's all very fair. There have certainly been games under Kenny where the possession has been almost the end goal. You know, it was just possession for possession's sake and quite dull and often in our own half. And I suspect for other teams, we weren't that tricky to play against. And maybe that was just part of the learning process and players had to become more used to it. But equally, you would have to say there has been a shift in the team's approach in the last 6 months. We were mentioning before you came on in the first hour, you think of Luxembourg in March and the team struggling to beat the Luxembourg press, but continually trying and not getting anywhere and being stuck in their own half, versus by way of a progression, say, against Serbia, we saw Bazunu clipping balls to wing backs. And then on Saturday, we saw Bazunu going to Ida past halfway on, I would say, the majority of occasions. So that's a massive turnaround in 6 months.
Well, there is different ways to play, isn't there? You know, you even look back to the only victory before the weekend, that Andorra game, where, let's be honest, it was looking a disaster. It was looking an absolute disaster. I know we'd gone behind, but they were actually outplaying us. They were pressing us in our own half. We were trying to play around them. We were getting caught out.
Yeah.
And, we go on and get the three goals, but that wasn't so long ago. So I think we do need to put things into perspective and say, well, look, let's look to the next few games. Let's just see the campaign out. Let's see how it goes. Let's look at the Qatar game tomorrow evening. Let's see how that goes. Let's see how everything's going. I'm still split. And if we're talking about pure progression of everything, I've not necessarily, you know, I listened to the interview you did with Keith last week. And it was great. It was nice to hear Keith talking about how they're analysing games. And, you know, we both know Keith, and I know the way that Keith works. And I know that he fully wants to take everything on board in terms of opposition and how the team's playing themselves, how we can implement our style on opposition. But I haven't necessarily seen it to get excited. That's the only thing that I would say up to now. And I hope that that's going to come.
Yeah. So what was the big difference for you on Saturday? I know you can use, you know, we use broad things like, well, more chances created and more penalty box moments. And I get all that. But what do you think was the reason that all happened? Like, why were Ireland better in those areas, do you think, on Saturday?
I obviously a lot more positive. I was really impressed with James McLean, how he played at wing back. Yeah. I've constantly spoken about the fact is on I've spoken about just sorry just one second yeah I've spoken about how he's, you know, not necessarily been suited to that role that he's played in, but I feel as though he's getting better and better, and he's looked a lot more comfortable in the last few games playing that way. I was impressed with him at the weekend. Wider areas. I mean, I listened to Stephen Kenny's interview that he did with Nathan. It was a great interview, and I thought the way that he analysed Portugal against Germany at the Euros about wider areas and how they can exploit wider areas, and Germany did that against Portugal and how they got the win. We could clearly see that he took that into the Portugal game, and the wider areas was obviously Seamus Coleman and Matt Doherty in those games that were producing the wider areas. But I think in obviously the last two, Matt Doherty's been excellent, I felt, in the last few games especially, but also James McLean, when he's been asked to play in that role, I think he's been playing well also. But also, I think more so up front, I think you've got someone like Callum Robinson on those counter-attacks when we go and press quickly, win the ball back. On those turnovers, we've got players, I think, running away from the man on the ball, and I just felt so often everyone's been coming towards the ball, and it's always been your first pass then when you're coming towards the ball, it's always going to be backwards. It takes the sting out of attacks, where if you've got someone running off the shoulder defenders, then it stretches teams, and that's where I think we've got a bit of joy recently.
It does seem like Kenny has pretty much settled on this team shape, give or take, I'm sure, a tinker or two. So that back five, Omobandelli, Duffy, Egan, I guess you've Darrow Shea waiting in the wings. Coleman can fill in there in that back three if needs be. That seems fairly set. Bazunu's fairly set. I'm sure Quevin Keller's got something to say about that, but that's fairly set as well. And then wing backs, as you said, McLean's gone really well and you've backup options there if you need them. And similarly, Doherty's gone very well and you can put Coleman there. So it, like, there are a lot of reasons to like Bazunu and that back five.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something, again, that we've spoken about. I always, and Stephen Kenny's teams that he's put out over the years, whether that's been at Dundalk or wherever, I think predominantly he would have liked to have gone with the back four. And I've always said it constantly to you. I prefer back fours attacking. I always think it gives you more options when you're going forward. But the back three absolutely works. Why not, you know, why not change a system to suit personnel within your side? And I'll always be in favour of that. Suit play a system that suits us, that suits the players you've got, and it seems to absolutely fit the, you know, fit the bill in terms of what we have. And I've liked the system, as you say. It's continuity as a back three, absolutely. Shane Duffy's been tremendous, really, given what had happened to him last season. He has been excellent. John Egan, excellent. They look solid together as a pairing. Obadam, I'll get the name right, or Coleman, whoever it's been that's asked to play on that side, as you say, we look settled, and you can tell that it's been worked on. You know, you can we're having the discussion now. We can actually tell that the system has been worked on defensively. Without the ball, we look solid at times. Sometimes we have been easy to counter on. I think when we've been a little bit too stretched, when teams have won the ball back from us in our own half, we've been very easy to counter against. But I've got to say, I've been impressed with Josh Cullen as well when he's been playing in that role as a holding midfielder. I think in midfield is where we are lacking, absolutely. I think we're not controlling games enough for what Stephen Kenny's been telling us and how they want to go about things. Mm. Midfield of the game is something that we've been seriously lacking across his entire reign. I think that's easy to see from anybody's point of view. But defensively, and absolutely, Bazunu has been he's been incredible to watch, and I've liked watching him play, and I like his temperament, not just in his shot stopping. I love his temperament. Everything he does, he makes it look easy. He doesn't throw himself around the pitch. He's not a screamer and shouter. Not that we've seen it from one or two other goalkeepers. So you can't help but be impressed with how he's adapting to senior international football, given his age.
Yeah, he's been nothing short of phenomenal. He really has. So, such an addition.
I came into the squad just after Shea had come in, so it's probably maybe a year or two after Shea given. That's maybe something that we can only relate to when we're talking about a young goalkeeper really stamping his authority and showing how good he is at such a young age. Bazunu, slightly less experience, it has to be said, has shown that same temperament, that same level of ability that Shea would have had 20, 25 years ago, whenever that was. So it looks great for us, I think, from that point of view, that we've got such a young goalkeeper that's playing to that level, but also showing the temperament. That's the thing that I would say. He doesn't look too flustered with anything. And it looks to me like he's going to be able to, he will get better, of course he'll get better, but if he has a setback in the game, he's not going to let it affect him. And I like everything that he's been doing, I really do.
So if we're, and I suppose it's more Stephen Kenny here, we're trying to predict what he's thinking, if he's happy with Bazunu and he's happy with that back three / back five shape, that brings us to the midfield that you mentioned. So Cullen and Hendrick, they're definitely shipping a lot of the blame over here last 24, 48 hours, I think, for Ireland not being able to control the game more. How much of it is on them, and how much is it maybe on the team shape? Because others are saying, and I would tend to agree, I thought they both did okay, but there was a lot of work for the two of them to do when the back five was a back five and the other three lads are further up the pitch. You're asking them to cover a huge amount of ground. Like, I wonder, do they just need another man in there? Chelsea have even done that recently.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say at times. As I said before, I've been impressed with Josh Cullen. I have across the whole, really. I think there has been the last couple of games where I've been watching him maybe and thought he could take the ball, he could maybe try and switch play quicker rather than, as has been the curse of us at times, going back the same way the ball is coming rather than take it on your back foot, go forward or switch play. I think it's been on so often. and it doesn't happen, and then you get frustrated that play is becoming quite condensed, and it's quite easy then to go on a press against that, because you know, as soon as that ball's played in and they look for that first ball, they go and press it, first touch back towards our own goal, and then obviously they can come up against us and press us, and that's where I feel as though we've been getting caught out a little bit. But I mean, whether it's been Cullen Hendrick, who else has been playing in there, Malumbi, yeah. Who else has been? Give me another name there, Joe. I'm just trying to think.
Jason
now,
Knight was in the Andorra game. He was
Jason
in the
Knight was in
right
yeah.
hand side. They've tried
he did
a couple.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I would say
Jamie McGrath was in there as well
for Portugal.
One of the games.
Cullen's definitely a mainstay. The last couple of games, the last window, Hendrick has definitely won Kenny over, I think. Like, Hendrick wasn't even brought on off the bench against Luxembourg, you know? So I think Cullen and Hendrick are pretty firmly in his mind. And then, I guess if you think of Portugal, Kev, away from home, needing a bit of extra solidity, like, that's where McGrath comes in. The other one people would have a real hope for is Alan Brown comes back from injury, and he could maybe do, you know, half a Horgan job, but also help out the two boys in midfield. That might be some kind of a balance there.
Yeah, how do you change that system to implement that? We're going with a two and maybe one ahead of him. I don't know how that's going to be. As you say, can be that.
You'd have to take out one of those front three. So you'd have, say, Cullen, Hendrick, take your pick between McGrath or Brown. And then you'd have to say, well, Horgan, out you come. Robinson's going to start, obviously, after his performance. Ida starts. So it's a little bit like that. It's you're saying to an Alan Brown, well, get forward and join in the two boys up top when you can. But
I think, you know,
when we're under pressure, you have to help out the two lads in midfield.
Yeah, and I don't think it's something that I would always stress as well, the importance of the time that lads need to adjust when they start to get in international football. Some start really well, take to it really quickly, and then they might have a lull after a certain amount of games. Maybe Josh Cullen's been a bit like that, I would probably say. Started very well, and I said across the course of his reign, he's been okay, I feel. But I think there is still, in the last few games, where you're watching him going, I think he could take it or do something else with the ball rather than continuously go back where it comes from or go backwards with his first touch. So there are a number of issues with that as well. But Brown's another one that there's been games where he has played well, obviously missed. I think everyone still thinks about the chance with the Slovakia game. What was the chance that he missed in the big one? I think it was Slovakia, wasn't it? Where we still harp on about things that have happened in the past.
I thought that was Heron.
Was that Howram, was it? I thought it was Alan Brown, was it not? Who was it?
Interesting.
I thought it was Brown. I can't remember the game now. You're trying to get so much in your head. One of the games anyway where he took a little bit of stick. I think he missed a chance or did whatever happened. And I think that you're looking for scapegoats constantly after every game. And that's what I think it's hard for the younger players to get the head around that at times, that they're playing on a different level now. You know, that you become a scapegoat very, very quickly at playing at international level. The scrutiny on the players, the focus that's on you, it's very different from the level that a lot of these guys have been playing at.
Yeah.
That's exactly
what's
difficult to comprehend for those lads at times.
Even more so, and I've got to take a quick break in a sec here, and I will, even more so than, say, your day where you were coming in, and you've spoken about this before, and it makes perfect sense, because I was saying, well, how can players do it for their club and it's tougher for country? And you were saying it's the attention, it's the focus, it's the whole nation, whereas if you're playing for Preston, you know, it's not the end of the world.
So, you know,
but
I mean, look at social media as well.
Well, social media.
You know, the constant looking at your social media, and before and after every game, you're looking how you're playing, families sending these little things, they're not necessarily getting that to the level that they're getting playing international. It's a mental thing, and that is the... Yeah, I think they're used to it now, or more used to it now, but it still doesn't detract from the fact that it's still hugely in your mind when you're going into these big games, that you've made a mistake prior to it, you might be called up again and you're playing your next game, and you want to do something quickly to try and put that out of your mind from the last game at times. Little things like this, little things, that might not be the rule across the course of the squad or across the whole of the squad, but it definitely does happen to an extent that you're on a different level, absolute different level in every sense of the word.
No, I totally accept that. And I was just going to say, I think for this batch coming through now under Kenny, it's worse than in your day. And I don't mean because of social media. I just think there's such scrutiny of, is Kenny the right man? Is he the wrong man? Every single game is like a referendum for like the 5 days after.
Yeah. It's doing nobody any favours. It's not obviously Stephen Kenny and his coaching staff, because where are they going to, being asked the questions about where their contract situations are going. But the players themselves, absolutely, it's not good. It isn't good for them, especially when we've got so many young players that are looking to progress and do well for themselves. And it's hard to handle. It is hard to handle because they're on that different level.
Yeah. So and we say first win in 13 competitive games. So for Gavin Bisounou, Omar Bamadeli, Adam Ida, Josh Cullen, Jamie McGrath, Troy Parrott, Ogbene. It's the first time they've ever had a competitive win. First time they've ever been able to say we got 3 points for Ireland. And they've been going a long time. It's been a long wait. I'd say they've had some tough evenings and tough flights home and thinking, oh my God, the whole country must hate us.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing for those younger players. Absolutely will be beneficial to them. It will bring them on. But I think it'll bring them on with what's happened to them anyway early on in the careers. They'll know that they have been feeling the worst of it. They've been feeling the wrath of, you know, people that are anti-Kenny, obviously the supportive people that are pro him. So that's been the difficulty, I think, really, overall. And it is nice for them now that they can look forward.
I wanted to ask you about Adam Ida and what you make of him, because against Portugal, he had a brilliant game and probably not as good, I would put it to you. I'm asking you, you can shoot that down if you want on Saturday, but he just seemed to struggle in terms of holding the ball up at times and bringing others into play, and just all of the good stuff we saw against Portugal wasn't quite there. What's your read on where Ida is?
I think he's, you know, for such a young player, I think he's done amazingly well. I do think that. I think he's been great. I think, yeah, his hold up play maybe in one or two of the games hasn't been as good as it maybe was, or it was maybe in his first few games. But I think something that I spoke about earlier, I think he gives you absolute an option in behind, because he's fairly quick. I'd say he's quick, not lightning quick, but quick enough, I think, when he's playing in that role. I think the way that we've played in certain games where we have been under a little bit of pressure, I think he has been a good outball for us. I'd like to see him getting more goal-scoring positions for himself. I think I would like to see him be a bit more selfish and just try to get between the middle of the goals and go and get himself in a position where he looks likely to score a goal, because far too often you're seeing attacks building. He's obviously involved in the initial attack, and then he wouldn't be in a position where you feel as though he's really going to go and get himself a goal. So that's the only issue, I suppose, that you've got with him. And maybe one or two others with his hold-up play. I would probably agree with that as well to an extent. But again, younger player, inexperienced, who has, in my opinion, done very, very well across the games that he's played.
No, great. He's incredibly promising, and he was great against Portugal. Did you ever, because this is what Ida is dealing with and quite a few of the players are dealing with, did you ever have a spell where you weren't being picked for your club and you had to pitch up on international duty, probably without your fitness and your sharpness, and try and perform? Did you ever have spells like that?
Nothing, honestly. I'm not being maybe arrogant, since this sticks into my mind now.
First name on the team sheet.
No, not none of that. But there has been spells where I haven't been picked every week. But I would always think that if I was left out for whatever reason, lack of form or changing a system to suit an opposition or whatever, I'd always feel as though I'd be back in the side the week after. So not really, no. I wouldn't say that to an extent. But maybe lack of form. Lack of form at times. And you're not playing particularly well maybe at club level, and you're coming in and you're chasing it a bit to an extent. You're trying to, you know, you're trying to produce something to try to get yourself, work yourself back into form. And I always said to you, there's a lot of the time, I remember it was Paddy Bonner that said it to me when I first broke into international level, and try and work your club form towards an international fixture. And I always did that. I'd always look ahead 6 weeks to the next international fixture, that I want to be in decent form, or certainly playing games going into that international game. You know, it meant that much to me, I think.
Yeah, no, I've no doubt, because it must be really tough for Anita to basically not play for weeks on end, and then pitch up and play in these huge games and have, you know, media analysing your performance, you know, guilty of it right here, right now. You know, I do sympathy for how difficult that must be for him, and to try and produce your best stuff when he's probably not as sharp as he wants to be, as young as he is.
No, exactly. I think players are being monitored now with the everything that they're doing on the training ground to try to mirror what they would be doing on a match day, with the high intensity runs, with all the work rate and things like that. But it no matter what you do on that training ground, it can never replicate what you're going to do on a match day. It can't. It simply can't. Just from a mental point of view, more than anything else, I'd feel. Mm. So yeah, it is tough for him. It is, and it will be the lack of game time that he gets. You know, then you have to make decisions once you get to, you know, 23, 24. You've got to make decisions on where you want to go with your career. Are you going to be content with just sitting and not necessarily playing week in, week out, or do you want to go and play 40 games for yourself? You know, the moves that I would have made across the course of my career was always, am I going to play? And maybe one or two, once or twice, I could have moved to a team and been told that I'm not going to be a first team regular. I'm going to be someone that's going to be playing or a squad player for the first couple of years, and you're almost like work in progress. And I wanted the right thing said to me, that I'm going to play games. And it's different now, don't get me wrong, it is very, very different, but that was the first thing that was in my mind, am I going to play? And that's the most important thing in my own mind, that's the way I was.
Matt Doherty's another one in that boat. It doesn't seem like it's happening for him at Spurs.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah, that's right. And it's surprising, given that Nuno went in there, you'd think he'd have that trust, wouldn't he? So it's going to be an interesting one to monitor, certainly up to Christmas time for him personally, isn't he? I'm sure he's going to want to play. You get fed up, given the amount of Premier League games he's played over the last few seasons. He wants to play. He wants to play week in, week out. He's been used to doing that. You get yourself in a flow when you're playing every week as well. You start to feel more confident in yourself. So maybe he might have decisions to make. You know, it might be too early to say that from his own point of view there, but I'm sure that will be the case come Christmas if he's not been playing up until then.
Because he would still have Premier League clubs interested.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see it in the last few games, the quality that he's got. As I said before, I thought he's played really well. But it's a difficult mindset to have then, isn't it, for him, that he's gone to such a big club. You know, you want to play for one of the big teams, absolutely do. Mm. And he's got himself in a great position now. Do you want to walk away from that? That is, you know, that if you do, you there's probably no going back for him. So that's a difficult decision that he's going to have to make.
Yeah. So, you know, the way we were talking about this slight change in style and Bazunu going long, for instance, in Baku, I presume like tomorrow night and in other games, we still will see Stephen Kenny's side try and play out from the back. Like, this seemed like a Baku approach as opposed to, well, we're never, you know, we're going long from now on. I wouldn't anticipate that's what we're going to see from a Kenny team. Like, I presume we're still going to see centre halves trying to take it off keeper and the team trying to build up from the back whenever possible.
Of course it will be. That will be the case. It will be, yeah. But there is going to be, it's just different options, isn't it, during the game? I think that's been the case across the course of his reign anyway. I think there has been spells where we have gone longer at times. It's just, it's the way that the game goes when players have to make those decisions for themselves as the game's going on anyway at times. So it won't necessarily be the message that's coming from him, I'm sure, before the game. But there are little things that you work on. That, look, Keith said it in his interview when he was on with you the other week. That's not working. Work it out yourself at times. You might have to go long. There's how many options have you got when you're on the pitch? One, that's your first option. That's your second option, third, or whatever. There's going to be different options that might not be available to you. So you have to change that. You have to change it up. And that's just the decision that's made in running, I suppose, isn't it?
Mm. What did you make of Daryl Horgan, Kev? Because he had done so well off the bench several times.
Yeah, we've had that with so many players, haven't we, where they've done great off the bench and all of a sudden they earn the starting place and it doesn't quite work out for them. And that's there's a number of players over the years where that's been the case. It's difficult to maybe pinpoint at times where he wasn't able to get involved in that first 45 minutes. I just felt at the weekend, as I said before, that once we scored and went in front, we allowed them maybe too much of the ball. We were maybe sat off. We weren't going pressing like we were. The chances that came for us in that first half were absolutely from counter-attacking positions that I thought was great to watch at times, knowing that when that press was coming. But he just wasn't able to get into the game because of maybe how we were playing. And that was... It's just for his own point of view, he's just got to try and park that, put it to one side, didn't play particularly well. He might be back on the bench now for a few games and try to do it off the bench for a few matches. That might be the only way that he can go about things. But I think he's done okay. As I said, I think he's certainly... If I'm thinking of our best 11 when we're going to be going into a game, I probably wouldn't be picking Daryl Horgan in my best 11. Mm. But he's a very good option for us as a 12th, 13th, 14th, whatever man off the bench. I think he's definitely earned that that right to be a player that can make an impact coming in as a substitute, yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing, really, the way it's gone for McLean, isn't it? Like, as you said, that was one of his best games for Ireland, you would say. And he's had some very, very good games for Ireland.
I'd go along with that.
Yeah. And even the moment where Robinson flicks the ball to him and he runs 60 yards full pace. I mean, he's still at a burst of pace as well. I'm sure Adam Eda is saying, come on, mate. But he was taking that shot no matter what.
Exactly, because it would have been a worldie, wouldn't it? But no, it was on for the pass as well. But no, I think he's been great. I'd always look to the left side positions. I think he did struggle at times defensively when he was playing in that role. And I felt as though that he didn't know whether he was a winger, didn't know whether he was a fullback, too deep, playing from behind, not necessarily knowing when to go. I think there was maybe uncertainty in himself when playing in that new role. But it looks to me like it's been worked on. He's learnt it and he's done well.
Yeah. I guess the other one to mention finally is Duffy, because this was just unforeseeable some time ago. He looks to be, I don't know, pretty close to top of his game, and even like a couple of brilliant passes fizzed into players' feet that I'm not so sure he was necessarily playing a couple of years ago.
I'd probably argue the fact is, maybe a couple of games haven't really gone from playing at international level. If everyone makes mistakes, that's the way that it's been across us all. I think his international career has been pretty, pretty good across the course of his career. I think he's been very, very good. And I think he was unlucky to be dropped early on in Stephen Kenny's reign. I know that his club form wasn't great at the time when he was playing for Celtic, but I think he was very unlucky to be left out, given what he's produced playing in an Irish shirt. I was disappointed, actually, that he was left out when he was. And I think now he's proved to be our best centre-half. I think he's gone... I think we're all maybe... You know, John Egan's actually done very, very well. And I know you mentioned Dara O'Shea before, who's another one who's done very well.
Mm.
But his level of consistency in an Irish shirt, I think, apart from the odd game here and there where he has made mistakes, has been up there with the best of them. I would say that. I think he's been so good when he's played. I think his consistency, his threat from set pieces for us, across the course of his reign, has been there, hasn't it? You and I, even when I was in the studio, we were looking, if we're going to win this game, it's going to be 1-0 and Duffy's going to score. He was looking like our most likely option for a goal at times.
Mm.
So he still brings that threat for us. Probably should have scored at the weekend, shouldn't he? He had a great chance at the weekend, should have scored. So there are a number of players where you're looking, and he's certainly one of them, that he will definitely have gained a lot of confidence with what's happened, certainly at club level. I was pleased, absolutely pleased, with the way things are going from at Brighton. We all know how disappointed he is. It was his team, you know. Every one of us growing up would have wanted to play for Celtic, would have wanted that opportunity to go and play for Celtic. I know I would have done. And he took it, he grabbed it with both hands, and it just didn't work out for him. It's just the way that it is. Look at Celtic now, where they are. Look where they've gone to over the last few years. I think there's probably been a number of issues at the club, and it certainly wasn't just Shane Duffy being an issue there for Celtic. There was issues at the club, and he's been the scapegoat for a lot of what happened last season at Celtic. Yes, his form wasn't great, and he did make mistakes, and he didn't look great when he was playing up there. But as I say, there's a number of other issues aside of what was happening with Shane Duffy. So he's been the one that I'd be looking at and thinking, you've done yourself a lot of, you can be proud of yourself, Hugh, because of what's happened to him personally over the last 18 months.
Yeah, for sure. Well, listen, it's great to get your thoughts on that, on all that. So sum it up for us. You're a bit more excited by the performance on Saturday. Obviously, still two big games to go against Portugal and Luxembourg. And, you know, should they go horrifically badly, then, you know, the pressure's right back on the manager, because that's the way football is. But I sense from you like that was the beginnings of a corner turned, if not fully around the corner, but the beginnings of something maybe. Yeah.
I'd like to think I've been very supportive of him. His interview with Nathan across the summertime, as I was saying before, I loved his analysis of the Portugal-Germany game at the Euros and how he saw it. And I thought it was great to listen to him talking about France against Hungary as well. I thought it was great listening to him. I didn't like the fact is, actually, I will say this, I didn't like the fact is that he started to talk about other managers before him and the technical aspects of his team against them. I didn't like that. That wasn't, I don't think that's something that he needs to be even focused on, talking about past performances. I know it might be something that's thrown at him, talking about, he was talking about the technical aspect. I think it was Gibraltar and another one during that interview. I didn't like that because I just think that you're concentrating on what you're doing. And I have to say, I wasn't impressed with, as I was saying before, the attacking aspect from a lot of his performances. The best performance I felt was Portugal, and we had 30% possession in the game. But that was always going to be the case against Portugal. We found a way to get at them, attack them. Probably we did deserve more from that game, and we probably deserved to win the match. But I think you've got to judge him on chances. I would feel, my own opinion, yes, there's a technical aspect to the game, and there's about progression and how the players are receiving the ball, how they were controlling games. But I want to be excited when I watch an Ireland team. I want to see balls in the penalty area, in the final third. What are we doing in the final third? How are we being creative? Is the movement off the ball? Is someone taking a chance? Are they being given the license to take a chance in the final third? And yet, Satley was far from perfect against Azerbaijan. We didn't play well, and I'll take that on board. But I felt as though there was a lot in the final third to be excited about. And there's ways now that I think that players will come on from that as well. So we'll look at the Qatar game and let's judge that going forward. But it is about the qualifiers now going forward for him. As I said before, I've hated the narrative all the way through. He's not qualified enough, or he is qualified enough. He's our best coach, he's our worst coach. Whatever you were saying, it was doing nobody any good. It's not helping the team. It's not helping the young players that's been coming into the team. I really feel that. As much as there's been a lot to, for me personally, when I've watched the games, thinking I've not really enjoyed watching the games, I'm still thinking that the players are going to suffer off the back of the negativity that goes with those bad results. So Saturday showed me that, you know, we simply do have to give him more time. Where are we going to go to? If we got rid of him after this campaign, Joe, where are we going to go to? Are we going to say, right, the list will be, of course, Sam Allardyce, it will be Chris Shewton and others. Are they going to play the style of football that Stephen Kenny's been playing for the last 18 months? Are we going to, what are we going to do? We are in limbo a little bit at the moment. And personally, I would just like to think, well, I hate to think that we're going to sacrifice a campaign, because that's what we've done here, essentially. We've sacrificed going to a World Cup. That kills me, because I think that we've always got to be competitive in every game. Even if we're not playing well in matches, how are we stopping opposition? And I've constantly said that. We haven't done that enough, I don't think. But I think there's a lot now within that group of players that are used to everything that Stephen Kenny's been doing. Mm-hmm. And I think he deserves that chance now to take that group of players into the next campaign. And then we've got, 15, 20 competitive games to look at. And then we can view him maybe after the European qualifying campaign.
Listen, thank you so much for your time. We won't pester you for at least a month, I promise. Kevin Kilbane, great chat to you,
Thanks,
man.
Joe.
Take care. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Well done.
Thank you very much. Kevin Kilbane there. Football and Off the Ball brought to you by Sky. All the football you love in one place across Sky Sports, BT Sport and Premier Sports. Big thanks to Kevin Kilbane there. Really good with his time. Good to check in with the man.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
But did anything go through your head at that moment? Was that you saying, right?
That was me saying, this is the first time I touched the ball in the final, and thank God I did something half decent with it.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.